Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie and that is Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What are you doing? Good. How's your Monday going so far? Welcome back to Los Angeles.
Thank you. It feels wonderful to be back here. I'm just really enjoying the warm air and the LA of it all. Feels great to be back. How's your Monday going?
Good so far. Don't ruin it. Just kidding. It's going good. Had a great weekend. It was my friend Suna's birthday, so that was fun. Did that. Watched a lot of Bravo. Watched a lot of other stuff. You finally watched Heated Rivalry. How'd you feel about
that? I finished Heated Rivalry. Well, you know, I'm a total Scott Hunter convert. That episode number three, wow, that got, I was like, oh my God, I love it. I loved episode three. I thought the rest of it was pretty boring. I'm not going to lie. Everyone was like, it gets so much better in episode five and episode six. I was like, I am dying a slow death watching this. I'm not going to lie. Every time Scott Hunter was on the screen, I was like, yes, the show is amazing. And then when he'd leave, I'd be like, okay, it was, I tried. I don't know. I mean, I thought there were some really sweet moments and I appreciated the evolution of their relationship over the course of the show. And what was so funny is the guy who plays Ilya, I then saw, him do an interview with Seth Meyers. And then, like in real life, he's like, oh my God, we had so much fun doing the show. And it was like really fun. And like, oh my God, we didn't even know how to skate. We're like, do, 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 do. I was like, this is the same guy. And I was like, that guy is, give him an Emmy. He did a great job. He apparently doesn't even speak Russian natively. So I was very impressed. I think for me, the issue just was that, you know, poor Hudson Williams, like, bless his heart. I just felt like he dragged the show down. I'm not going to lie. I have to say it. I mean, I know
he was playing a boring, you know, robot. Person,
he was. I know.
Which, I mean, I know he that did like, very well.
Bless his heart. I mean, I know that apparently in the books, his character is actually on the spectrum and is supposed to have some issues with emotional resolution or whatever, but I felt like
no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that really.
I think they might have mentioned that. That would have kind of brought it home. Probably.
It was. It was. I felt like, you know, I
would have
like,
made more sense.
But
not in a mean way, you know, but like just the way he was acting. Like it seems like if you told me that that's what he was going for, I would say, oh yeah, I get it. He did a good job. You know, I mean, yeah. I think he did a good job. I thought of him as like repressed, you know, just repressed and shy, which I think he did a good job. I mean, listen, you're going to get like a sports nerd. I mean, I don't know what the reality of that is. You know what I mean? So I don't know how real, how charismatic I expected him to be. I loved it though. I just loved it. So you just shut your goddamn.
It was sweet.
Here's something I'll say is I love that it's like so many women into gay sex now. It cracks me up. Yeah. My niece, she is 17. She just turned 17. She's like, oh my God, uncle, I'm so into Heated Rivalry, the books. And I was like, oh my God, if that's like that on TV, what are the books? I mean, the books must be just pure porn. And I was like, well, enjoy the butt sex. I mean, what the hell?
I wonder if the books also describe. I wonder if the books describe the sexual activities where it's something like Ilya moves out of the bed just so the sheet happens to cover his groin. I mean, every single thing. The amount of the way that they would move to not show any nudity was hilarious to me. But I do love
that. And that's how I move in my house too. Even for myself. I'm like walking. I'm like, oh, there's a mirror coming up. There's suddenly a plant in front of me.
I love what the show did for us gays though. I think it's great. I love that it's, you know, for some people it's like normalizing us. I think that's very important. I think the show's very important. And I had loved the Scott Hunter stuff. I don't know,
it's normalizing the hot straight acting ones.
Yeah, exactly. But like that, like when you say, oh my God, my niece is, you know, watching gay sex. It's not some freak show, you know? And so, you know, I did think that I think the show got better as it went along, but I also felt like, I struggled a little bit. I can't lie. I know this will get me a certain amount of heat. I think that Dumois sassed off about the show and then the show's creator was like very unhappy with her. I'm not saying that I have any sort of sway with Dumois.
I was going to say, I think we're safe.
I'm bracing for backlash. I accept it. I accept it. It did not.
Well, I hope Giselle doesn't hear about this because she is not very happy. Someone you don't want backlash from is Miss Giselle. Jesus. Mm-mm. So let's get into some Real Housewives of Potomac season 10, episode 15, The Rocky Road to Gay Butt Sex and Hockey. The Rocky Road to Sisterhood. It is the Colorado trip. We're back with Angel. Angel, colossal failure. Oh my gosh. This week we open and it got even worse. Spoiler alert.
I almost felt bad for her, honestly, in this episode.
I did like, feel bad for her.
I felt on the one hand that Giselle's fury was justified, but also felt like at a certain point, you've got it. Like, this woman is apologizing and you can see she's mortified. Like, at some point you've just got to, like, you know, let it out and then just, you got to move on, Giselle. I don't know. I felt really, this is the first time I actually felt bad for Angel. All the other times this season, I felt like this is Angel making her own, you know, making her own bed. But this time I think Angel made her bed and didn't realize the room had no running water. And I felt a little bad for her. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I feel bad for Angel a lot. I mean, the last episode actually was when I stopped feeling as bad for her, because those guys at the party and the whole way that they treated all the ladies, that really pissed me off. Like, I did not like that. And I feel like she was a part of that. So I didn't like that. But I was back to feeling bad. I mean, Giselle, just kick her while she's down. Why don't you? My God, it's like, enough is enough with her. It was great seeing Quad kind of let Giselle have it. And she didn't let her have it, but she was just honest with her on Watch What Happens Live. And I loved it. I loved it, Miss Quad.
Giselle lied. But you know what? We'll talk about that on Crappy Hour tonight, which is happening at 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 East Coast time. By the way, we also have Amazon Live today, and that's going to be at 4 o'clock West Coast, 7 o'clock East Coast. Come join us. I know many of you have the day off today. Happy Martin Luther King Day, by the way.
Yes.
And so come join us. If you're not normally able to join us, come join us today. Sorry, little plug. Because I talked so much about heated rivalry. We forgot about our heated shilling for ourselves.
Yeah,
I feel bad now, by the way. I literally feel bad that I singled out Hudson Williams because he seems so sweet. And I singled him out for dragging the show.
Oh, he's fine. Now. He was hanging out with Ricky Martin all weekend. I just saw it in the
Okay, good. Trades. Okay, I don't feel bad anymore. You know what? Sometimes it's like, it feels like we have to have gay solidarity sometimes. And I'm like, oh gosh, like, am I being self-loathing? Am I being a self-loathing gay? I did think there were some very sweet scenes.
For fuck's sake. We are on to Potomac. Okay? You do not need to stop the hordes of the heated rivalry people. You're allowed to think some shit is boring. Okay.
You're allowed. But it was boring.
This is America. We pay taxes boring. And we are allowed to think gay things are boring just as much as we think straight things are boring.
Okay, good. Okay,
being
good.
Gay there does were not absolve things, but there you were boring of things. Boringness. Okay. But I love all of you. Call me so Heated boring. Rivalry Cast. Love you. If you need like a chunky, insecure person storyline, call me. Okay. So we are Colorado day two, back to the truck with Angel, Kay, and Tia. They were in this truck a lot. We could have had an entire season of people just driving in the truck because everything's an hour and a half away from each other. So, seriously. You know, like just car conversations with Angel. So Angel's like, okay, you know, everybody is talking about doing a sleepover, but I needed to check with Bobby first because, you know, he's watching. I mean, yes, dads watch their kids. I watch my kids. It's not like I said he's babysitting the kids, because we see a flashback of Monique being like, watching your kids. He's a father. He should. Now, if he had said, I have to babysit the kids, that's something. But I think him saying, like, listen, I've been with these damn kids all day. No, like, I don't want to, or get me some help or whatever, it would be a different thing. But she's like, you know, I'm just saying he's watching the kids. What's the big deal? You know, and commenting on it is you're crossing boundaries and you don't know me like that. And he's like, oh, yes. Well, there's someone with a decent bedroom. Let me just say, let's not do that. Ooh, I love hot water.
Mm? Yeah, I think it's okay to check in with your spouse, your significant other, to make sure, be like, hey, I'm going to be doing this thing. I just want to get like a temperature check, because you don't want them to ever feel like you're just taking them for granted. You're just going to go off and do your own thing, you know? But Angel, the way she sort of carries herself is that it always seems like she's like a little afraid of disappointing Bobby, or like she's like a little afraid of it all falling apart. Whether that's true or not, hard to say, but that's the way she's, at least that's the vibe she's giving out. So like when Monique said like, oh, like that's just what a dad does. A dad will take care of the kids. Like that's what dads do. And Angel's like, oh, she puts her hand up. Like, don't push it. Don't push it. It's like, whoa, okay, fine. I mean, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of an overstep for Monique to say that. I think Monique is also testing Angel to see if Angel has the same reaction that Monique would have had a few years ago, but I don't know. It's a little bit of a gray area for me on this front.
Yeah. Well, also there's an argument that like you're at work, so yeah, your husband will be watching your children because this is your job. It's not your job to like go home at 5. Like mm-hmm. This is a cast trip and you're hosting the cast trip. You will be coming to the pajama party. So and your husband will be watching the kids. But I think they have a good read on her saying like, look, I don't know if I want to be around you people. You're all mean to me and make me cry. So I'll see how it goes tomorrow. And then I will use my husband as an excuse. Because listen, marriage is not easy. You have to wake up next to somebody after they've been farting at you all night long, you know, getting up in the middle of the night to pee, coming back into bed, ruffling all the blankets, you know, bringing the cold air back into the bed. You know, you have to put up with a lot when you're married, I'm guessing. And, you know, you should be able to use that person as a human shield. That's what I'm saying. So if she wants to use Bobby in that way, that is her God-given right.
And that's what's happening here. I think that she is just giving herself the opportunity to have an escape valve. I think also, like, not only is this her work, but they are promoting her Wonderland, you know, business by coming up there. So she's the one who's putting their brand on TV every single week on this show. So if Bobby can't, you know, look after the kids for one night, I think that's disappointing personally. But I think you're right. I think it's about something larger than that. I think it's that she just wants to have the opportunity to get away from this group if things don't go well in Aspen.
Because we saw Bobby and he was like, well, do you want to go? I'm like, go ahead.
She's also
so this whole like, will Bobby let me is all bullshit. Because he's like, okay, but if you don't want to go, then don't go. Like, what do you want me to say? Do what you want.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
She's also a no person. She is always going to be the person where if you say, hey, do you want to go get dinner on Thursday? She'll say, I think I'm busy, but let me get back to you. She's always going to come at you with a no, and then she'll revise to a yes, because she never wants to be booked. She never wants to be programmed or locked down. You know, I know people like that. It drives me nuts personally as someone who likes to make plans. It's also, it feels actually kind of disrespectful after a while. Just say yes to me, you know, but I think I kind of get the vibe from Angel that that's just what she does. She's never going to commit until she feels comfortable or she's like too afraid to commit like right away. Maybe because she is a slow processor. We've seen she's a slow processor by the fact that someone will say something to her and then like a week later, she'll be mad about it. But, I think that's just the way she operates. She likes to give herself like some buffer space to think about it before she actually commits to something.
Yeah. But then she loses me saying things like this. If I let them in on my relationship with Bobby, which is sparkling and wonderful, they better consider it a privilege. Ugh. Shut up. Just be quiet.
Wow.
So I don't, you know, consider me less privileged. I don't need to be. I don't need the privilege. Keep it.
We don't all need to have to be privileged in this life.
Yeah, I don't need it. So now we go to the other car with Stacey and Jazzy, or another car. And Stacey's like, when you have kids, you have two beautiful blessings in your boys. You're going to learn. That's like the easiest excuse. You know, you use them as an excuse, or you use them as something that you resent for not having the career that you could have had if you hadn't had them. It's all right as mothers.
Jazzy's like, yeah, I know. I'm the one who sets up the babysitters in our realm. Okay, realm's a bit of a strange use.
Jazzy's like, oh, I totally get it. I call the babysitters. It's rough. Do you know how rough it is scheduling babysitters to take care of children? I do it all the time. Totally get it. In my realm. I'm a 5-minute wag. Okay, I've been here 5 minutes.
So. So Stacey's like, yeah, I just don't know if I believe this about Bobby. And Jazzy's like, I'm not believing it. She said she would have to talk to Bobby. No, you have to talk to yourself and feel like you are coming. Like, and it's so funny because Jazzy, see if you feel like coming. It's funny that Jazzy's like, what the hell? Like, her vibe is like, what the hell with Angel right now? When Jazzy's the one who also then narked on the other conversation with Monique to Angel. So Jazzy's definitely playing both sides of the fence here, and she has not been clocked for it yet.
Yeah. So now the other car with Giselle, Monique, Wendy, and Ashley. And Monique's like, okay, well, look, I'm just making assumptions. I'm not saying her husband is a 7 foot tall person that French presses her to death every night in bed. But these athletes, you know, they make their money and then, you know, they're like, I'm providing. Now you do everything else. And I didn't speak on her marriage. I was only speaking on her, only her. My concern was for Angel. And just because I know the weight of that, pun intended, it was a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight. And I know where that took me. I'm still expanding like something that was vacuum packed. I feel like a pillow that was squashed and vacuum packed and sent across the country and is still needing air to expand. That is how I feel.
Casper mattress that just arrived in its box and now you've taken it out and people are looking at me being like, I can't believe a whole mattress fit in this box, but it's just me expanding.
I feel like a seahorse in a capsule that was put into water and is now expanding.
I feel like an air mattress that someone's sleeping on, but you're watching the footage in reverse. You can only make mattress references. Sorry, everyone.
I like how many of I love how many mattress references you have just in your back pocket. I'm just seeing so many flashes of your life. Like, wow, just running the hell out of the way. Wow. The second you cut that, we've all been there with the internet mattress. You know, it's like, wow, how'd they do this? And you open it and suddenly it's like, boom, it's like pops out at you and expands all over you.
It is very exciting, that moment. It's also very like bulky and strange and a lot has to
terrifying.
Happen.
It's terrifying. Terrifying.
If you think about it, it's actually one of the scariest moments of my life. Monique is, I like that Monique is saying, you know, she's saying like, basically my experience with Chris was that like everything revolved around him and, you know, I had to be careful. Like he makes all the money and then I had to sort of like cater to all his needs. Now, I don't know why she would think that about Bobby just because they went to their house last night and Bobby didn't say hello and didn't stand up and didn't encourage his guests to stand up and didn't broker any sort of friendly relations between the guests and the women. I don't know why she would ever get the sense that everything revolves around Bobby. What a strange idea.
Yeah. You know, the guys were rude, but I do have a thought on that. Just that in a way that was him showing solidarity with his wife. I think he's heard so much about these ladies being mean to his wife and just treating her like crap. And she's cried so much over it that he's like, fuck all of you. I think it was incredibly rude and a stupid move on his part because it just makes him look horrible, you know? But I think that he was like, I think that that was showing more solidarity than Chris ever showed.
You know? Chris Bassett.
Yeah. I think that he was like, oh no. Like, and not to say that Chris Bassett never showed solidarity, but I mean, she's saying like, I have to do everything, blah, blah. In my relationship, I had to do everything. You know, the husband's like in his own world, where I think in this one, you're seeing the husband actively stand up for his wife and be like, okay, I'm not going to be nice to you people. You've been horrible to my wife. Like, that's kind of how I took it. Cause why else would they have acted like that? I mean, they were assholes.
I mean, that's what I think as well. But I also think that's like shitty. Cause I think, Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, like that neither of us like obviously condone it. And I think it's very clear that he's like trying to have some sort of like protest. But I think it's like, what are you doing? You should be trying to set your wife up for success. And this is not going to be it. What you do is you're friendly and then you talk shit afterwards instead of just stand there and be rude. And then you know what that's going to do is get all of the people who don't like Angel just angrier at Angel, or not angrier, but like, you know, more like
judgmental. Like you're adding judgmental fuel to their fire, you know,
you're instead of fuel like the shade and
instead of being nice and contrasting, you know, you show a contrast like we're nice, we're kind, we're opening, and they're still doing nothing but coming over here and starting drama with my wife. You know,
well, what
instead
you really
of
do
giving,
is
giving them ammo, like, oh, see, we said your husband was an asshole, and then here he is being an asshole.
Yeah. Or it's not even that you act nice so that way they see that you're actually nice. What you do is you just act normal to show that you're totally unbothered by them. and that they mean nothing to you. I think that's what you do. But like, you don't, when, if you're thinking, I'm going to show them that they mean nothing to us by literally not standing up for them. It's like, well, okay, well, you're clearly bothered and you're doing the most right now by doing the least. So like, yeah, I thought that was such a terrible manifestation of disliking these women. Like, that was just so wrong.
So Monique's like, well, you know, in the past I overextended myself and I did too much. And then that caused me to lash out at the people that didn't deserve it the most. And then as an example of someone who didn't deserve it, we see 2017 of Giselle being in her kitchen, in Monique's kitchen, going, oh, here comes the talker. Giselle was so fucking rude in this episode. She was so rude when Monique came on the show. She was rude to her for no reason. It was Giselle. She's been doing this for years, you know? And so she was being rude to her in her own home. And Monique comes over and she's like, oh, I can't stop talking, right? Don't be disrespectful in my home. And Giselle says, you're aggressive. And she's like, I'm not being aggressive. And she's like, and it's not a good look. And by the way, Giselle got kicked out that day. And my only point in going over all this again is to say that maybe you lashed out at people who didn't deserve it. Giselle was not one of those people. Giselle, as I recalled, did deserve it. So please don't go back on that, editors.
And then we also saw the famous umbrella scene with Robin and all that. And then, of course, we saw Monique and Candace actually at the hoedown or wherever they were. And this was the preceding the dragger, whatever, drag me, whatever.
Oh, drag you, so, pregnant and all. Drag me, Monique. Drag me.
So Monique is like, I don't know what her situation is, but a lot of what I'm seeing is oddly familiar, you know. And I said that so clearly, so apparently. So Wendy tells me that the whole conversation got back to Angel already. And we see earlier today that Wendy has told Monique, you know, like, yeah, Angel knows everything that we said in that car. And they're like, so jazzy. Jazzy said it. And Monique is upset because she's like, I would have liked to have been the one to tell this to Angel.
Yeah. So now Angel in her car is like, they don't know my husband and they don't know our marriage and they haven't spent time with us. All they know is that he doesn't know how to stand up sometimes, and I'm not going to answer. And Kierna's like, yeah, I don't even think that's a conversation. She goes, well, anyways, we're going to have a great day today. It's a new day. Everything's going to be great. Let's start this with some positivity. I'm taking the ladies in a private jet to Aspen. We're going to go to Kemosabe. I'm giving them a taste of things that I love to do in Colorado that make me happy. Well, I hope you're ready to have trauma attached to all of these experiences, because
yes,
this is not going to be a good day.
Yeah, man. it's going to be rough. Okay. Nothing good comes out of Kemosabes on Bravo, and nothing good seems to come out of private planes on Bravo anymore. So buckle up.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And then so we go back to the car with Giselle and Ashley, Monique and Wendy. And Wendy is like, well, I wonder what Stacey and Jazzy are talking about. And Giselle's like, nothing. And then we go over to them and Stacey's like, well, I'm trying to convince Timo to buy me a chicken coop. And Jazzy's like, you want a chicken coop? Yes. You know, so I can get fresh eggs for Arabella.
And she's like, yeah, I hear that dogs eat the chicken coops. She's like, dogs eat chickens. The most shocking thing she's ever heard. It's like reconsidering dogs, chickens. So Giselle and Giselle's car. She's like, oh, come on, Angel. We were rooting for you. Angel told us we were going to stay at her house. Number one, she had no intentions of us staying there. She didn't have intentions of us staying in a house altogether. Okay, but you're supposed to be Miss Colorado and you got ins in every pocket. So what happened? And Giselle's just going off about how bad this was. And even in her 20s, when she didn't have any money, she did not live like this. She was at least able to shit, shower and shave.
Yeah, Giselle is really on one about this. I mean, I get it. Like, you have no running water. And you're on TV, so you can't shower. You're afraid you're not going to look your best. You feel like, you know, you're going to get judged and picked apart by all the Bravo people. So I get it, the frustration. And you're also elder statesman of the show and yada, yada, yada. And she's already annoyed. She's annoyed that Angel is going on about the catfish thing. She's annoyed that they're separated and that some people, the cool people, get to go to the nice house. And other, there's that too, that she didn't get picked for the nice house. Cause you know that despite the fact that she's had a pretty bad relationship with Angel all season, she still expected to be put in the nicer house if there was an option. So she's just absolutely furious about this whole situation.
Meanwhile, Angel's like, oh, it's going to be a great day today. We're going to turn it around today, guys. Cut back to Giselle.
Death. Death to Angel. Death to Angel.
So we go to the airport and we see the Falcon 900, the jet. It's $8,000 per hour, you guys. It's a big deal. So yeah. The other ladies come and they're like, okay, PJ. And everyone says hi and gets on the plane and all that good stuff. And Ashley's like, well, we made it. Not that you guys cared. Don't smell me. I didn't get to shower because, you know, we didn't have any water. And Jazzy's like, oh, God. She goes, well, for Angel's just like, well, good morning, ladies. I just want to say by saying I'm sorry about your accommodations. And Giselle's like, too late.
Boo. Boo. She is heckling. Too late. Too
Let
late.
Let me finish. Okay, let me finish.
No. Let's not hear her out. Let's not hear her out.
Let's hear me out.
Too
late. Hear me out.
Too late.
Okay.
Wait, what's the number that comes after one? Too late.
After one, after seven, 2-8. Just add an L in there. It'll make much more sense. Wendy's like, no one even said, are you guys okay? No one said, is the water back? No one even fake pretended to care. And say, hey, we can send an Uber. And if you want, we could send it to you guys. And you could come take a shower at my house. I mean, that's what a host would say. That's what a host would say. They'd also say, we'll be back in 2-2. 2-2.
We haven't heard jack shit from you. Absolutely no way on a trip with all these ladies. I would leave them high and dry with no water to wipe our ass, to brush our teeth, to do a goddamn thing. It's fucked up.
Ah. To flush a toilet. Wendy.
First of all, let me apologize.
This is really, really bad. Oh, my God. This is when we find out it got even worse. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they couldn't flush and everything. And so Angel's like, well, let me apologize again. I mean, Angel is... basically she's the store manager. She's like, I'd like to speak with the manager moment. Angel just has to be like, well, let me be the first to apologize. We can give you store credit at the Airbnb. Here's the coupon. Can we give you a free dessert? What can we do?
No, I was like, you by no means, you cannot apologize. You couldn't even text, I'm sorry. And she's like, okay, maybe I should have reached out and asked them what they were doing. But I jumped into fixing mode. Okay. Like I heard things were broken and I wanted to rectify the situation. So she's like, I've been up since the crack of dawn working on a solution. And Giselle's like, so have we. Our solution, digging holes in the backyard to poop in.
And Ashley tries to jump in. She's like, you didn't call anybody, nobody. You didn't text anybody. She's like, no, you didn't. You're too busy. And you didn't either, Kierna. You're too busy up her ass. Like, so now Kierna's going to get some on the side here. And Kierna's like, no. I'm my own ass. Let's start there. I am on my own ass. Trying to take photos of the landscape for my new picture frame.
Kierna also not really improving. No, I'm my own ass. Let's start there. Okay. So Tia's like, well, I just
trying to process what she was saying. I'm leave me out of it.
And Giselle's like, she's not saying shit.
And Tia's like, well, they were upset with me, and rightly so. I mean, I woke up, I see Angel panicking, she's crying, and that was my immediate need. And, you know, did I take for granted that I had water to shower in and also had water coming out of Tia's eyes that I could have showered in with the other ladies had nothing? Sure. But I was in the middle of an Eggs Benedict on the patio. Watching sprinklers going. I just didn't have time to think about the lady. Sorry.
When I saw the tears just streaming down Angel's face, I was just went into panic mode. I just wanted to help her. Later, I found out those weren't tears. It was just the water left over from the shower that she had taken a third of the morning, actually. So you understand why I was distracted.
I was worried about the ladies. I said, let's all sit in the hot tub and talk about it. We'll take showers and drink gallons of water.
We were very lucky. We had a professional come to the house to show us how to shave our legs. So we all took turns doing it multiple times.
And Angel's like, well, okay, I should have called you guys, but as soon as I was made aware of the problem, I began to try and find you guys a new house. And Giselle's like, well, Angel, I'm sorry, sweetie. Yeah, I'm sorry, sweetie. Speech is over. And she's like, or accommodations at the Four Seasons. And Giselle goes, don't you think I did that? I told all the girls, pack your shit. What we're not doing is standing in the projects because of Angel.
You know, this is not the projects.
Yes, it is.
Well, the heat was at 90 degrees all throughout the house. Oh, no, sorry. Ash is like, the heat was at 90 degrees all throughout the house. And then Wendy's like, yes, Monique woke up and her face was swollen. And Stacey goes, her face was double the size. A big, giant face. Look at her face now. Now imagine it twice the size. Now imagine it looking ugly and ridiculous. That was her.
And Monique's laughing. She's like, shut up. My God. And Stacey's like, girl, you were looking crazy. I was trying to support you, but you were scaring me. You were like the monster under Arabella's bed.
Well, last night, ladies, I found out that there were issues in with the water pressure, and the issues were as well. And you know, while you guys were at my house, we sent an electrician over to that house, and we also sent the property manager over to that house to make sure all was well. And I was informed that the water pressure was back up, and that there weren't any issues with the well or the septic.
So, okay, so she at least did something, right? But Giselle's like, okay, well, even if there was no water issues, you hadn't checked on us, and our asses are here because of you, and you are a horrible host. You're a horrible host. So she thought, I mean, she sends the property manager over, and they're like, nothing's wrong. She's like, okay, nothing's wrong, and went to bed. And meanwhile, it's like turning into an oven in there, and then the water completely goes out to the point they can't even flush. I mean, this is really bad.
I would love to find this Airbnb. I would love to see if there's reviews on it. Like, we've never seen in the history of the Real Housewives such a bad Airbnb. We've never seen these sort of issues before. So Kiernan's saying that she's like, you know, I've been on a lot of these cast trips before. Okay, I've been in bunk beds. I've had to share a bathroom. And we see clips of like not amazing accommodations. And she's like, these ladies have been in the group longer than me, and this is not their first rodeo. Like, things happen. I get that's an issue, but we've had issues before. She's kind of like, these people need to relax. And normally I would actually be like, she's kind of right. But with that, no running water, I think, is a big deal. I think that's worthy of frustration. I also think, though, at a certain point, I don't think Angel's BSing them. I don't think she's being elusive. I think she is genuinely mortified. I think this is not how she wants, you know, like her brand as the Wanderland, you know, co-owner to look like they run a trip.
I mean, that's a whole other level where it's like she's supposed to be a vacation specialist and this is not great.
And I kind of think that that's where Giselle is also going hard at her because she's like, this is what you do. So I think like Giselle is like ready to just take her down in any way and also take down her brand.
You know, but the thing with Giselle is you're sitting on a private plane that this lady has chartered
That's the other thing.
This $8,000 an hour, and you won't stop. Like, I understand, you know, the being pissed, but Angel didn't know your heat was on and couldn't turn off. She didn't know that everything broke back down, but their point of you could have called us to make sure is also valid.
That's a good point.
Like, you can't really stand up for Angel here. It's just that Giselle won't stop. Like, she's getting worse and worse. Like, this is fueling her. To get worse, you know, and so she just keeps going. And Angel's like, well, you know, I have found you alternate accommodations. And Stacey's like, I feel like we should go where Giselle's going. And Wendy's like, I'm going where Giselle goes. And so she's like, well, where are we going? And she goes, you know, ladies, I'm a Four Seasons girl, and I've called my Four Seasons people, and that is where we'll be going. And Stacey's like, oh my God, the Four Seasons. I don't have to pay for that, right? I don't have very much money. I'm not going to deny it. Have you seen my outfits on the QVC?
Do you think that maybe one of Angel's things is that she doesn't like being wrong or she doesn't like being imperfect? Because, like, I can imagine a world where, you know, Angel's whole thing is that she's saying, I didn't text because I was trying to solve it. And do you think that in her mind, she's saying, I don't want to text them and check in and things are bad and I don't have a solution for them. I want to check in and be like, this is what the new plan is. I'm so sorry. And like, it sort of kind of dovetails with how she treats Bobby in a certain way of like, I don't want to disappoint him. I want to make sure I do everything right. And I want to know the full picture before I do something. I sort of get the sense that that maybe that's how she's operating. And that's actually to her detriment because people don't want her to be like perfect. They want her just to be present. And like, they feel like she's very guarded and they feel like she's not giving her full self. And maybe that's what's going on with this group, with her.
Maybe, but why would she? She's probably afraid to call them. I mean, who does she have on her side over there? Literally nobody. Like, no one likes her. So I'm sure she doesn't want to call and be like, hey, how are you doing? And then be like, this sucks. You suck. Everything sucks.
So yeah, that's exactly. Like,
I'll call the property manager and make sure it's okay, and then I'll try and deal with them tomorrow. You know, I think is in her mind. I don't think she knew that it turned into the hell that it turned into. And then she mentioned earlier, she's like, you know, and then I was thinking like the Four Seasons. There's an alternate place, and I was like, I called the Four Seasons. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she knew that Giselle had already called the Four Seasons or if she was going to call the Four Seasons for them or if that was what she had arranged or what was going on. But yeah, I think she was just like, well, shit, I don't want to call Giselle. I'll just trust the property manager.
She wanted to have all. Yeah. I think she just wanted to have all her tools ready. So that way when she did reach out to Giselle, she could be like, I've got this all lined up. So that way there wouldn't be an issue. But in the process of doing that, she actually made it worse, unfortunately. So they're all going to go to Four Seasons, as we all knew, because we saw that video of the cast at the Four Seasons last year. So Angel is, she's done. they've just kind of like destroyed her, you know what? But now they're going to go forward. Now they're going to move forward on this plan and go up to Aspen.
Yeah, and Angel tries again, you know, because Giselle's like, this is the worst in 10 years. We have been on some bad trips, but this is the Colorado, you're number one. Nah. And Angel's like, okay, well, it's going to be a great time in Aspen, though. So once again, everybody, and Giselle goes, yeah, because of us, not because of you. Everyone's like, oh, God. Oh, God. And Angel says, well, we're on this jet because of me. And Giselle goes, well, I would rather have running water than a jet. She goes, so like fair. I was saying, it's like, well, being able to wash my ass is more important than a jet, honey. And she's like, okay, well, listen, my intention was never for you to have a poor experience. I just don't want you guys to have a bad time on my watch. So too late. And Stacey's like, we already did. Well, I hope we can have a great day, ladies. And Kieran goes, can we toast? And Stacey goes, Kay, what do you mean, can we toast? What are you saying? Nobody wants to toast.
Kieran was like,
well, I'm just like trying to really champion because like I know this trip means a lot to Angel and I just felt like Angel was taking a lot of accountability and I just want this to be a good time and I apologize to you ladies for like not reaching out to y'all. So on behalf of the fact I am your friend.
And Jazzy's like, okay, how about we toast to Giselle? And Ashley's like,
there is no checking in.
I mean, they are so mad and they're still going. But Jazzy's like, no, toast to Giselle for getting us Four Seasons accommodations. Thank you, Giselle, for finding us Four Seasons. And they all cheers. And Angel is just like, damn, that was rough. I mean, the poor thing. I mean, it's been a long time since I feel like we've seen someone get really raked over the coals like that on one of these shows. Like, but that wasn't just like, oh, it was a fight. Oh, that was a thrash. Because normally when there is like a clash on the show, someone has like, I'm right. No, I'm right. But in that case, Angel knew she was wrong. So it wasn't like a clash. It was just a bending over and taking it. And it was
a thrashing.
I felt bad for her. I felt bad.
So now we see footage from Ashley's phone. We're flying over the Rocky Mountains. And Jazzy tells us that for 11 years, she was a flight attendant. So she's done some domestic, international. She's been to a lot of places. Okay. She's a low-key professional tripper, guys. So Giselle is saying, yeah, Stacey was sharing that she was bonding with me and Ashley. And, you know, we're in this Colorado air. We're in high elevation. So my eyes are super dry. And she says that she took her contacts out and she put them on her plate on the side. She's like, yeah, I didn't want to put them in my napkin. I mean, it was a proper napkin. I didn't want to take my contacts out and put them on the table. I mean, who does that? So I put them on the side of my plate. Let's just say my poop was seeing better this morning. My poop was seeing better. She ate her contacts.
She ate her contacts.
Hence the 2020 booty hole.
So they land in Aspen and Angel's like, welcome to Aspen, everyone. I hope the flight wasn't too bumpy for everyone. Too late. Okay, Giselle. It It wasn't that bumpy, though. Too late. It was very bumpy. It's bumpier when you're not clean.
So we're going in Sprinter vans right away. I would sprint away from this vacation to a private whiskey lounge. Oh, can I wash my ass with whiskey?
We already have some food picked out, and then we'll go right ahead to Kemosabe. More like chemo too late because I'm not washed. Okay, Giselle, that one doesn't even make sense. Too late. I already said it. Okay. All right.
Too late, Sue. Too late, Sabe, loser. Okay, guys, let's have an amazing day. So they get off, and Angel's just trying to recover. She's like, okay, well, every celebrity hits Aspen. It's just so fun. There are so many celebrities here. Rihanna, Kevin Costner, Kylie Jenner. Everyone comes to Aspen to play.
An Angel. Too late. Well, it is funny because One Republic, I think, is from Colorado, and I wonder if they go to Aspen and maybe they sing their seminal song, "It's Too Late to Apologize." It's too late. Wow, I don't know how I pulled a One Republic reference there, but I did.
You did it.
I don't know. Sometimes weird times, right? So they're in Aspen, and ooh, it's nice. They go to a place called Stranahan's Whiskey Lodge, and they all sit down. They have some whiskey. They have everything. They have a strange bar menu. They have whiskey. They have vodka. They don't have beer. They don't have wine. They don't have tequila. And Ashley is like, what? She's like losing her mind by the strange selection. And so I was like,
yeah, because everywhere they go on this trip is something they can't have. You know, I was like, okay, welcome to this fancy restaurant where you can only have what we're telling you to have. It's like, what the hell? Can I have water?
It's a whiskey lodge. It's a whiskey lodge. I think it's like, okay, if a place is called a whiskey lodge, that it's going to be primarily whiskey drinks, you know, but Ashley is like, but Ashley doesn't seem too mad because then she starts talking about like, well, you know, once whiskey gets hold of the girls, we all go crazy. So we get flashbacks to the Cayman Islands where we see Karen drunk on whiskey doing that thing. Like, I know how to, you need to know how to control your man's kiss. Do it like this. Just this thing with her tongue, and everyone just is like, oh, Karen, too much.
Yeah, but for the most part, these whiskey flashbacks of like, oh, look at the ladies getting crazy on whiskey was Robin. We got a lot of Robin being, you know. Because Robin really does change when she gets some whiskey. Ashley's like, I should have brought my flask. So they're making small talk. And Monique is like, oh, so is this somewhere where you and Bobby come? And she's like, no. We go like the opera ski areas. Like, we go to this hotel called Little Nell. It's pretty famous. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
It's a small hotel.
She was on Give Me a Break.
Her mother hotel was raised in the wilderness and didn't know about human civilization or didn't have any language. And this is the smaller hotel version of that one. Little Nell.
So baby Jodie Foster.
It's great, great little hotel. Hard to understand it, but you know, give it some time and you'll make sense of it. So Stacey's like, well, are you guys skiers? And she's like, no, not me and Bobby, but we're not good at that at all, you know? And she goes, well, guys, again, I just want to say, I know that you're not willing to accept my apology, but once again, I am so sorry for the accommodations. Okay, Giselle, you can say it. 3, 2, 1.
Too late. Thank you. It's like, but I take full responsibility and I wanted it to turn out differently. And so they order drink and stuff starts coming out. And Wendy's like, whoa, these are some Aspen deviled eggs. Are they different than regular eggs? Stacey's like, there's quail eggs on top. Look at that.
talk about yolks. Talk about whites. Talk about mayonnaise. Talk about mustard. It's a deviled egg. Oh, yeah.
Well, they don't taste like your auntie's deviled eggs, you know. And so Monique's like, so Jazzy, did you tell Angel the conversation that I had in the car with you all? She's like, yeah. Because why? She's like, because I was concerned. And Wendy's like, oh, she was concerned about everything that happened when we said, you know, we want to have a sleepover. And you had stated that you needed to talk to Bobby about it. That's what happened.
So, and then Monique says, so basically I noticed certain similarities between you and I, and my concern was that, like, I don't want you to get to a point where you explode, but like sometimes when you're doing so much and even your partner is contributing, sometimes it's like still not enough. And then you like get in girl circles and you're hard and you're defensive and you're ready to attack and defend because of like, of what you're really already experiencing in the house that they may not be privy to. And if you've not been vulnerable in that way, I know what it took for me to get to the moment of awakening. I just don't want to see you in that position. So Angel's like, okay, so you're wondering if that's also my lived experience? Because I'm going to say lived experience a lot for the rest of the episode going forward. Is that what you're saying, my lived experience? I think that Monique doesn't know anything about my marriage. My husband pampers me to the nth degree by not getting me things and paying our rent in Potomac. And this is a depleted woman that you see here. This is a fulfilled woman who's very afraid to ask her husband if he'll babysit the kids for a night. So I think she should leave me out of it. I have abundance and happiness.
This is a woman who sits on an air conditioner while people are meditating. Okay. Does that seem like a scared person to you? And she, Angel's like, okay, no, that was just me saying I'm going to check in with him. You know, it's like a respect thing because they're his children, right? And they're my children, but I still use the verb watch. Okay. You know what I mean? Because that is a verb. He needs to watch the children. And that's a thing that people do. And Jazzy's like, well, I mean, I told you that was concerning for me too. And Tia's like, well, that's what I use with Rob when he's watching the kids. What are you supposed to call it?
He's tolerating the children. I'm sorry, but I'm going out tonight. Could you tolerate the children? Thank you.
Well, I use the word watch loosely because the last time that Rob, quote unquote, watched the children, 65 teenagers showed up at our house and someone threw up red things on the carpet. So I don't know how well he is watching the children, but that's the word we use.
The only way he got to watch the children that night was the next day over a police cam video after the police were called to my home for child drunkenness. I had one swinging off a fan. I had one vomiting on the ground. I had my son making out with the mirror. So it was quite a night.
Jazzy is saying, you know, this was all concerning because the prior conversation where Monique shared her experience and she was wondering if the correlation could be also what she went through. And then Jazzy goes, as a wag myself, there are a lot of wags that have kind of lost who they are in the idea of becoming a wife. I, of course, am not one of those. I haven't lost myself in it. I just now use interesting language to describe the timelines of my husband because I'm a wag and I need to protect him. But anyway, I haven't lost myself in the wag pursuit.
I've not lost myself. In fact, any man that had children on me during our relationship would totally be fine, even if he wasn't a sports star. Okay, I've not lost myself at all. Where am I? Where am I right now? And Giselle's like, so you knew you were coming to Colorado. Why couldn't you have childcare taken care of? So this is not even a conversation. Nah. And she's like, I do have childcare. I have our babysitter until 9 o'clock and we have her there tonight. And since we must know the babysitter's schedule, I need to discuss with my husband what I'm doing instead. And Wendy's like, well, the bigger issue is Jazzy. You know, Monique said multiple times, I want to have this conversation, and you did it for her. And she's like, at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing, and that's the life of a wag.
She goes, Angel's my friend, which is funny because she was sort of talking shit about Angel earlier in the car. So Giselle is like, yes, but like, when did you all become so close? Because in Nevis, I didn't see it. And Jazzy's like, well, Angel has called me since I met her. And Wendy goes, off camera? She's like, yeah. She goes, and that is the issue. Like, you can't call off camera. So as if Giselle does not call up, you know, the veterans and be like, this is the plan. Let's go after the newbie, make her trip hella.
Yeah. And Jazzy's like, well, Angel wanted me in her house and she just got Tia by default. And she goes, excuse me, how dare you? It's like, it's true. Well, where did that come from? And Angel says, well, I wanted Kay, Tia, and Jazzy in my house. Yes, I did. And I wasn't able to have a third accommodation like I thought. So Tia's like,
oh, well, I'm sure she thought she wanted you there. But if she did, you would be there and I wouldn't. So I don't know how that's default. I think she made a choice that you lost. I'm sorry.
I feel like
they said, would you like Jazzy in your home? She wagged her head. No.
Do you feel like this was code that the producers were like, no, you're going to take Tia because we need to like create drama? Like Tia's like, I don't know, like see what sort of rift can come out of the fact that Tia gets chosen as not with the rest of the group, but like, we don't want you to have one of the friend doves. We will keep the friend doves in the other house. Like something, I feel like she was speaking code about production when she described that, like the third accommodation, like couldn't happen.
She's like, well, I wanted a third accommodation, but Bobby unfortunately took that room for another man cave. He needed six man caves yesterday.
Unfortunately, Bobby invited four men to the house who took up the rooms that you guys would have been able to have. So yeah, so Jazzy had to stay in broke down palace.
Yeah. And so Jazzy's like, babe, use your brain. She goes, hey, sorry. She goes, it was by default. And Jazzy says that she's talked to Angel several times on the phone and she never knew that her and Tia were that close. So when she saw her with Kay and Tia, she thought it had to be by default. Like maybe Kay advocated for Tia.
And so Tia's
that's not
like,
what default means.
No, it's not what default means at all. And Tia's like, where the earth did you pop out from with that narrative? If Angel wanted you in her home, surely you would be there, no? And are you there? No. But guess who is there? Tia is. I don't know why that was so funny to me that she said that in that way.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.